ask you if you'd like to share the reading of God's Word with me this morning. We're going to be reading from the book of Mark, Mark chapter 8, and we're going to begin reading with verse number 22, all right? So Mark chapter 8, verse number 22. Bless the Lord. I loved hearing all of the testimonies. When my wife was taking the prayer requests, and just one after another, they, you know, I have a praise, and I just absolutely love hearing all of the wonderful things that the Lord is doing in our hearts and in our lives, and I appreciate the goodness of God. Amen. Amen. So Mark chapter 8, verse number 22. And the scripture said, and he, talking about Jesus, he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man, and led him by the hand, and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, he put his hands on him and asked him if he saw aught. And the blind man looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. And after that, Jesus put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. And Jesus sent him away to his house, and listen what Jesus says to him. Jesus sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town, and don't tell anyone in the town about any of this. Neither go into the town, nor tell any in the town about what's happened to you. You can bow your heads if you will. We're going to stop reading right there. And I just would ask that you pray that the Lord would continue to have his way in our service this morning. Heavenly Father, I am delighted to be able to be in the house of the Lord. I'm privileged to be able to have opportunity to share your word. I thank you for the opportunity that you have granted us to gather here this morning in your name, and I am thankful for the touch of your Holy Spirit that we have sensed and that we have felt. We come to the reading of the Word of the living God, and I would pray this morning, Lord, that you would enable me to be an effective minister of this Word. In my own self, I readily admit that I am incapable. But if you will touch me and if you will bless me to be a blessing, put your words in my mind, your words in my mouth, and let them come forth this morning under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Empower what is spoken. Give me liberty through the anointing of the Lord. You said where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And I just simply pray that you would give me liberty to minister what you have laid upon my heart today. Let Christ be glorified. Let the church be edified. And for all of these things throughout eternity, Lord, we will be eternally grateful. We ask them in the mighty and awesome name of Jesus, and everyone in agreement with that prayer said amen. Amen. So I want to title my message this morning, In Need of a Second Touch. In Need of a Second Touch. Now, I know we have just closed our eyes and we have prayed, but that was for the purpose of prayer. I want to invite you for the purpose of experiment or illustration, if you will. Would you please just close your eyes again? Just close your eyes again, and what do you see? Think about it for a moment. Maybe there is a glow. Maybe a small, you know, memory, an image in your mind. I like the song. It's all right, Ruthie. Don't freak out. So as your eyes are closed, do you see just a glimmer of light, maybe a glow of brightness, and maybe an image or a memory, the last thing that you saw? But I want to ask you a question this morning. Think of it. How would it be to have a life with no light? What would it be like to have a life where you never saw the face or the image of your loved ones? What would it be like to have a life if, amen, we never saw the brightness of the sun or the beauty of God's creation or the mountains or the ocean? What would that be like if we were just limited to touch, taste, hear, and smell? You can open your eyes this morning, and I thank you. I think that we would all agree that our eyesight is a very precious treasure to us, would we not? I think that we could all agree that our eyesight is a valuable and a very precious gift from God. I would venture to say that millions and millions and millions of dollars are spent every year around the world to enhance our eyesight because we are keenly aware of our need to see clearly. If we are a wise individual, there are certain activities that we will make certain that we are wearing eye protection, right? I'll tell on myself. This last summer, I was out doing some weed eating, you know, trimming weeds, and all of a sudden, I felt a rock go boom. I'm like, you dummy. I wasn't wearing any eye protection, but I went and got some. I had some. But what I'm saying, if we are wise, we will make certain that during certain activities we wear eye protection. If we are welding, if we are running a grinder, amen, if we are, the list goes on, if we are shooting firearms or whatever it might be, if we are wise, we will use eye protection because we understand that our eyes are a valuable resource. And what would life be like without our sight? But let me just share with you this morning that there is a spiritual equivalent to that natural sight of man. The Bible tells us that we are to have a spiritual sight and a spiritual ear. Let me share with you what God said to Ezekiel concerning the spiritual condition of his day. You will find it in Ezekiel chapter 12 and verse number 2. And this is what God said. He said, "Son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious house. They are a people which have eyes to see, and yet they cannot see. They have ears to hear, and yet they cannot hear, because they are a rebellious household." God was saying that these people had natural sight and they had natural hearing, but they could not see or perceive into the realm of the spirit because they were blinded in their spirit and they were dull of hearing in their spirit. Jesus said the same thing concerning the Pharisees. Here in our own text in Mark chapter 8, verse number 18, Jesus even asked the same question of his disciples. He said, "Having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? What I'm saying this morning is just as we have natural vision and just as we have natural hearing, God intends for us to be able to see into the realm of the Spirit and to be able to hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. God intends for us to have an open eye and an open ear. But sometimes, if we are not careful, we are spiritually blind. How many of you remember the day when you were spiritually blind? All of us, at some point or another, has experienced blindness. Maybe we have never been without our natural sight, but I bet you you could think back over your life and remember when you were spiritually blind. The old hymn comes to mind, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. How many of you remember the day when, amen, the Holy Spirit revealed to your heart that you were in need of a Savior? Do you remember the hour and the time, amen, when you recognized that you needed a Redeemer and you called upon the name of the Lord and He washed your sins away? I can tell you, I remember the day and the hour when I called upon the name of the Lord and He set me free. Amen, amen, amen. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. Beloved, what I want us to understand this morning and what I would like to submit to you this morning is that even after we come to Christ, there are times in our life when our spiritual sight becomes shrouded and we lose our focus. And like this blind man, we see, but we do not see well. Like this blind man, we see, but we see, amen, men walking about as trees. We see, but we do not see with any kind of clarity. We see, but we do not see with any kind of focus. At some point in our life, in this Christian experience, amen, we have lost our focus and we have lost our direction. And often, amen, we grope along life's wall as a blind individual because our spiritual sight has been taken from us. We see, but we do not see well. Here in our text this morning, I believe that there are some things that the Holy Spirit would like to reveal to us to help us regain our clarity and regain our focus. I believe that we can find some understanding for those that can't seem to feel or find their way or see clearly into the things of the Spirit. This past week, the Holy Spirit began to lead me to this passage of Scripture. And as I begin to read of all of the stories that, amen, that talk about Jesus and of all of the studies and all of the things that we might read about His miracle working power from the perspective of a believer, this story that we have read this morning might be one of the strangest stories in the Word of God. It might be just one of the most intriguing and strangest stories of all of them. As we look upon the surface of the text, it raises some very interesting questions. And I'll be right up front with you. It raises some questions that I don't have answers for. I've read every commentary that I can read, and I have studied every different theologian that I could study, and I will just simply tell you that even after reading all of the commentaries and after reading all of the different theologians' ideas and all of that sort of thing, it just left me with a few questions that I don't have an answer for. Let me tell you what we do know. Number one, we do know that this blind man was from Bethesda, or from Bethsaida. It was a little town that Jesus had condemned because of their unbelief. So we know that this man lived in a small town that Jesus had condemned because of their unbelief. You'll read that in Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 21. This is what the Bible says in Matthew 11, 21. Jesus speaking, "Woe unto you, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre or Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and in ashes." So understand that this little town was a town that Jesus condemned for their unbelief. He said, "Woe unto you that live in that city, because if the works that were done in you had been done in Tyre and in Sidon, they would have repented and you still won't believe." So number one, we know that this man, but we know that he was from a city that Jesus condemned. That might lead us to understand why the scripture said that Jesus led him out of town to do the miracle. Right? That might also explain to us why in verse number 26, after the miracle had been performed, that Jesus said to the man, "Don't go back into the city. Go straight home. Don't tell anybody about it. They've already had their chance." So we know that he was from Bethesda. Number two, we know that someone obviously cared for him because they brought him to Jesus. Let me just share with you this morning, friends need to bring friends to Jesus. Hello? That's our job. They brought him to Jesus. Somebody cared for him. And we also know that when he got there before the Lord, Jesus did one of the strangest things that you will read in Scripture. He spit in his eye. Excuse me? How strange is that? He spit in his eye. The Bible records 6 different blind individuals being healed. And Jesus never spit in any of them except this guy. Jesus, as a matter of fact, he heard a blind man say, "Have mercy on me, thou son of David. Have mercy upon me." And Jesus went to him and said, "What do you want me to do?" And the blind man said, "That I may receive my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Do you believe that I can do that?" And the blind man said, "Yes." In the old English, in the King James, he said, "Yea, Lord, I believe you can do that." And Jesus said to him, he just spoke to him. He didn't even lay hands on him. He just said to him, "According to your faith, so be it unto you." And the man was made whole. We read of another incident where Jesus spat upon the ground and made a little mud puddle, and then smeared the mud in the blind man's eye and told him to go wash in the pool. Go wash your face. And the Bible said that that man obeyed the Lord and he came again seeing. But this is the only place in Scripture where Jesus spit in somebody's eye. And I have read every commentary, I've read every theologian, and I don't know why. I have no idea. It leaves me scratching my head. Number four, we know that Jesus healed him partially. We know that Jesus healed him partially. He laid hands upon him and said, "Do you see?" And the man said, "I see men walking about as trees." How many of you know that ain't seeing? That's not seeing. That's not seeing with any kind of clarity. So we know that Jesus healed him partially at first with imperfect vision, and then with a second touch, he made him whole and completed the work. It left me wondering why a second touch was needed. Why did he have to touch him twice? Number five, we know that by looking in Matthew, Luke, and John that this incident or this particular story is eliminated from their gospels. We do not read about this in Matthew. We do not read about it in Luke. We do not read about it in John. Only Mark tells us about this story. It happened right after the feeding of 4,000. And those are the things that we know. We know that this blind man lived in a particular town that was cursed of the Lord. We know that he had friends. We know that Jesus spit in his eye. We know that Jesus partially healed him, and we know that the other gospels do not mention it. Now, what questions are left? The first question that comes to my mind is, why the partial healing? Was it a lack of faith on the man's part? Was it a lack of faith on the blind man's part? Did Jesus have some kind of power failure? Some kind of heavenly hiccup in the vibe? What was it? What was there, some kind of glitch in the transmitting power of the Holy Spirit to get it from Christ to the man? This is the only miracle in the New Testament where Jesus was required to touch his subject again, amen, and to bring about a sufficient change. Why? Let me share with you some of the theologians' answers. Some of the theologians claim that it was a power failure, if you will, on the part of Christ. I disagree with that. The notion of a power failure or some sort of heavenly hiccup is contrary to everything that we know about Jesus. He was, he is, and he will always be, amen, the mighty God. Jesus said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Amen. Let me just tell you something. This is the same Jesus that walked on water, turned water into wine, caused the dead to rise up out of the grave. Amen. Touching a blind man and making his eyes whole would be just a small exercise of his power. There was no heavenly hiccup. There was no glitch in the power. Amen. I disagree with that notion. Some scholars have proposed that Jesus was using a living metaphor to illustrate something powerful to his disciples. The verses immediately prior to this story have Jesus asking the important question of the disciples, "Perceive ye not? Neither understand, have your hearts been hardened? Having eyes, see ye not? Having ears, hear you not?" The God's Word translation says, "Do you not understand?" Amen. Do you not catch on? Are your minds closed? Are you blind and deaf? And some theologians say that Jesus was using this particular instance as a living metaphor to teach the disciples something. You see, the disciples understood who Jesus was. They had heard him speak. They had watched his power in action. But yet they did not yet know the part that he would play in their salvation. They were expecting the Messiah to come and deliver them from Roman oppression. But Jesus would go to the cross, and some theologians teach that they had watched him perform miracles, and they believed that he was the Christ, but they could not clearly visualize his role in the plan of their salvation. So they are suggesting that the healing of the man in stages was some kind of a metaphor to teach the disciples to understand who Jesus really was. I disagree with that. And I'll tell you why. Because the Bible said that when Jesus was risen from the dead, they were still scratching their head and they didn't even realize who he was. But when he appeared unto them in the room, he said, "Touch me and handle me." And he began to break unto them the word of God from the beginning to the end. And then they realized who he was. Number three, some theologians believe that this particular incident was just simply to build the man's faith. Healing him in stages, a little faith, he got part of it. That gave him a little more faith to receive the rest of it. It doesn't satisfy my curiosity. It doesn't satisfy all of the questions in my mind. So I will tell you right up front, I don't understand everything in our text this morning. I'm going to be right up front with you. I don't have all of the answers. But here's what I do know. And here's what I do feel like the Holy Spirit has laid upon my heart. I can tell you that with a great, great amount of certainty, there are going to be some moments in our life when we are going to be blinded by discouragements and we are going to see unclearly. There are going to be some times in our life that we feel as though we are fumbling and stumbling along life's road in some areas in our life. And there are going to be some moments in our life, amen, that are like, quote, unquote, men walking as trees. Moments when we don't see too clearly, and moments when we can't focus, and moments when we don't see the path that is ahead of us. There goes going to be some times that we see through a glass darkly. There are going to be some times in our Christian experience that our understanding is shrouded by the scales upon our spiritual eyes. There are going to be some times in our life, like this blind man in our text, that we are going to need a second touch from the hand of God in order to cause us to clearly see. I submit to you this morning, there are going to be some moments and some occasions in our life that, like this blind man, we will not clearly see the path that is in front of us. We see the desires and the pleasures of this world, and amen, and we see ourselves striving for acceptance and all of the things that the world can bring, and that becomes our focus. And it blurs our spiritual sight. Like the blind man, we cannot see clearly. Oftentimes, amen, we become oriented upon our jobs and our dirty clothes and laundry and striving to get ahead and the grind of everyday life and marriages that aren't working out like they, amen, like they ought to, and relationships with others that have soured. And all of those things become our focus, and it blinds us spiritually. There are going to be sometimes in our life that, like the blind man in our text, we're going to need to call out to the Lord and ask for a second touch. It was the second touch that brought clarity. It was the second touch that brought healing. It was the second touch that manifested, amen, the clarity and the focus that he needed. when God began to lay this upon my heart, if I can just impart it the way that he caused me to feel it in my spirit. Oh God, how we need a second touch. Some of you here this morning, you started out on the right path and then got a little sideways, and now your focus is on something else. Can I tell you what you need? You need a second touch. You need a second touch from the Master's hand. If we are a Christian and we cannot see our place in this world as salt and light, then I came to tell you we need a second touch. If we are a Christian and we cannot see the need for us to mature and to grow in the kingdom of God, we need a second touch. If we are a Christian brother or sister and we are caught up in sin that is going to destroy our life, we need a second touch. If we are a Christian and our life has become topsy-turvy and spinning out of control, then what I came to tell you this morning is that we need a second touch from the Master's hand, and the second touch will set you free. Amen, amen, amen. This man got his miracle with the second touch. Good news this morning. I know a God that's willing to touch you again. I know a God that is willing to touch you again. Maybe you are here this morning and you feel as though you are walking through life with no direction and no spiritual focus. Call upon the name of the Lord and ask God for another touch. Maybe you are here this morning and you are walking through life with no clarity, no accuracy. Look up to heaven this morning and call upon the name of the Lord and say, Lord, touch me again. Touch my life again. My prayer for myself, my prayer for Elevation Worship Center, and my prayer for the church world as a whole is, oh God, give us another touch from the hand of the living God and cause us to live, amen, vibrantly again with clear vision. Amen, amen, amen. I believe this morning that the church is very much like this blind man, and we stand desperately in need of another touch. We are often spiritually out of focus. Often spiritually out of focus and out of touch and confused like the blind men. We see in part, but we don't have clarity. Amen. My prayer this morning for all of us, amen, and for the church is, Lord, touch us again. Touch me again, Lord, and clear up my blurry vision. Touch me again, Lord, and make things clear. Touch me again, Lord, and turn my opposition into opportunity. Touch me again, Lord, and turn my problems into possibility. Touch me again, Lord, and turn my pain into glory. Touch me again, Lord, and turn my sorrow into success. Touch me again, Lord, and turn my tears into triumph, and my grief into grace, and my stress into strength. Touch me again, Lord, until I stand up, jump up, and speak up for the things of the living God. Touch me again, Lord. It's the second touch that brought clarity. Jesus touched the blind man the second time. I can't tell you why he spit in his eye. I don't have the answer to that. I don't get that at all. Maybe when we get to heaven, he'll explain it. And we'll go, oh, I got it. I don't know why he spit in his eye. But here's what I do know. He was willing to touch him again. He was willing to touch him again. The first touch brought partial healing, but the second touch completed the process. Jesus touched the blind man a second time, and something broke free. Something broke free. He no longer saw men walking about as trees. He no longer saw with blurry vision. He was no longer out of focus. He was no longer out of focus. Let me just tell you something this morning. When you get a second touch from God, things will start looking the way things ought to look. Sin will start looking like sin, and right will start looking right, and wrong will start looking wrong. I've said it before, let me say it again. Don't shout me now when I'm preaching good. You get a second touch from the Lord, and things are going to start looking the way things are supposed to look. Can I tell you that even in the church world today, we have a group of people that call evil good and good evil. People have their morals turned upside down. Well, let me just tell you, when you get a second touch from the Lord, things are going to start looking the way things are supposed to look. Hello? Right's going to look right, wrong. Let me just tell you this morning, I don't care how many people tell you that wrong is right, wrong is still wrong. Don't shoot the messenger. Amen. What is popular is not always right, and what is right is not always popular. You know, let me tell you what Paul told Timothy. He said, preach the word. Preach it in season and out of season. What did he mean? Here's what he was saying. Preach it when you can get an amen, and preach it when everybody just sits and looks at you. Because right is right and wrong is wrong. I came to tell you this morning, amen, that if you get a second touch from the hand of God, some of the things in your life are going to start looking the way they're supposed to look in the sight of God. Amen, beloved, things ought to look the way they ought to look. We need to live, amen, in a world where we are, amen, subject to the supreme being of God and His Word. You can put a sinner in a suit and he's still a sinner. You can put a reprobate in a mansion and he's still a reprobate. You can put a fool in a Cadillac and he's still a fool. And I'm telling you, you can call right, wrong, amen, or wrong, right, and you can call wrong, right, amen. But I got to tell you, God knows the truth. Amen. The first touch will bring sight, but the second touch will bring clarity. The first touch will bring life, but the second touch will bring meaning to life. The first touch gives hearing, but the second touch gives understanding. The first touch, amen, will give us a love for God, but the second touch will cause us to love our neighbor even as ourselves. You hear what I'm saying this morning? The first touch, it's all about, Lord, help me. Lord, bless me. But with the second touch, it becomes, Lord, how can I help? And Lord, use me. The first touch, it's about, amen, praying, my will be done. But with the second touch, we become more like Jesus and begin to pray, not my will, but your will be done. Amen. The first touch, we get a touch of the Spirit. But the second touch, we get a hunger in our heart to be filled with the Spirit of God. The first touch will cause us to pray for our friends. But the second touch will cause us to pray for our enemies. Hello? You hear what I'm saying? The first touch, we begin to thank God for all of His blessings. But with the second touch, we begin to thank God for the trials, amen, and the circumstances that we have to walk through, because it is the trials and the circumstances that cause our faith to be strong. Amen. Faith that is never tried is nothing. Hello? That's why the trial of your faith is more precious than gold, James said. Because it's been tried, it's been tested, and it's been shown that it'll stand. When you've been through hell and high water, amen, and you come out on the other side with a testimony, brother, that'll build your faith, and it'll cause you to thank God for the trial. Hallelujah. The first touch will make you shout in church, but the second touch will make you shout on the way to church. Hello? The first touch, we begin to pray, Lord, give me a blessing. But with the second touch, we begin to pray, Lord, make me a blessing. Help me be a blessing. I said we need a second touch. The first touch, we learn to forgive. But the second touch will cause us to forget all about it. Hello? You've heard people, well, I'll forgive, but I ain't gonna forget. Hello? Hello? The first touch will cause you to forgive, but the second touch from the hand of the Lord just causes you to forget all about it. I could tell you a story, but I'm not. I'm just saying I could tell you a story, but I'm not. I don't know about you this morning, but I need a second touch. I need God to bring some clarity, bring some focus. I need God to help me not to see others as trees walking about, but help me to have clarity and vision and focus. When God began to put this on my heart, I literally just cried out and said, oh, God, give me a second touch. I got some more rivers that I got to cross. I got some more battles that I got to fight my way through. I got some more mountains that I need to climb. And I need a second touch from the hand of God. I feel in my heart this morning, maybe some of you feel the same way. You feel like you've got some scales on your eyes. I just tell you this morning, don't set up in here and miss what God wants to speak to your heart. Don't be too cool to care and too proud to participate. And don't be too sophisticated to serve. And don't be too opinionated to say, amen, Lord, I agree with your truth. God wants to bring a second touch into your life and do something in your heart. Don't set up in here this morning and miss out on what God wants to do in your life. Let me share this biblical story with you and then I'll close. We all know the story of Samson. Mighty, mighty man of God. The Bible said that with a jawbone of an ass, he slew 1,000 men. With the job, just for fun, to tease his enemies, he picked up the city gates, put them on his back, and walked to the top of the hill and basically said, nah, 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 nah. Powerful man of God, anointed of God for a season, anointed of God for a purpose, anointed of God for a purpose. But we know the story of Samson. He played around, fooled around, and they cut off his hair. You'll find the story in the book of Judges. They cut off his hair, and when they cut off that symbol of the covenant that he had with God, because God had said when he was born, a razor will never touch his head. Don't allow a razor to touch his head. He told the secret of his covenant. And when that hair was shaved off, he became like an ordinary man. And they captured him. And do you know what the first thing they did when they captured him was? They put out his eyes. They plucked out his eyesight. And then they tied him to a grinding wheel. And Samson just went around and around and around, grinding meal, grinding corn. First thing the enemy did was put out his eyes. Can I tell you, that's the first thing that the enemy wants to do to us. He wants to blind us, cause us to see ineffectively. But there came a day there came a day when all of these Philistines were making a feast, and they had gathered in the temple of their false idol. And they were feeling so proud of themselves that their false idol had delivered Samson into their hand. They said to someone, "Go get Samson and bring him into the arena so that we can make sport of him." And here is this mighty man of God, led by a child into the arena, into the temple of the Philistines. Powerless. Powerless to do anything about anything. And they are mocking him and making feast and making sport of him. And Samson leans over and he says to the lad that led him, "Take me to the pillars of this building so that I may lean upon them and rest." And the little boy led him, the Bible said, to the center of that arena, or the center of that constructed temple. And there was a pillar on the left and a pillar on the right that held up the entire building. And here's what Samson did. He placed his hands upon those pillars. And he said, "Oh God, give me another touch. Give me a second touch that I may be avenged of my enemies." And God heard his prayer. And God touched him again. And the Bible said that Samson began to push with all of his might. And I can just see the faces on all of those Philistines when they begin to hear the rock crack. And stuff started falling from the ceiling. And the Bible said when Samson knocked over those pillars, how did he do it? By the hand of God. By the power of God. God answered his prayer. He knocked those pillars over. And the Bible said that Samson slew more of the enemies of God in one day than he had in all of his lifetime. And he died there with his enemies. What I'm telling you this morning is that God is a God of a second touch. God is a God of a second touch. I don't know all of the answers of the text that we've read today. I don't know why he spit on him. I don't know why But what I do know, I don't know why he didn't get it the first time. I don't know. I don't know why some of us don't get it the first time. I don't know. But what I do know is that Jesus was willing to touch him again. And with the second touch came clarity. With the second touch came focus. With the second touch came perfect vision. What I want you to hear this morning is God desires to touch your life. Bow your heads all over the building, if you will, this morning, please. The little chorus, we sang it a few weeks ago. Shackled by a heavy burden, neath a load of guilt and shame. But then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me. He touched me. Oh, yes, he touched me. And all the joy that floods my soul, something happened, and now I know. I know what it was. I realize what it was. He touched me, and he made me whole. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Heavenly Father, touch us again. Bring clarity to our life. Bring clarity to our sight. Give focus, purpose, complete vision as we walk this road of life. This morning I pray, Heavenly Father, if there are those that have had the scales of the enemy placed upon their sight and they do not see clearly. They see men as trees walking about. If there are those that are here this morning, Lord, and they don't see spiritually clear, they're not walking by faith, I pray this morning, Lord, that you would open the eyes of their understanding, open the ear of their spiritual man. Let them hear what the Spirit would say to the church this morning. Open their eyes and touch them, I pray again. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I pray these things in the awesome and mighty name of Jesus. Maybe you are here this morning and you would be willing to slip up your hand and say, Pastor Gary, I need a second touch from the Master. Yeah, I need a second touch from the Master's hand. I need a second touch that brings some clarity into life. Hands being lifted all over the building this morning. Stand up on your feet, if you will, please. Let me pray with you. Oh God, this morning we call upon your mercy. And Lord, we thank you that you have touched our lives even to this place. But this morning, God, renew that touch and give us a second touch from your Holy Spirit that brings light, life, and clarity and purpose and meaning to our hearts. Don't allow us to leave like we came this morning in Jesus' name. Pull the scales from our eyes and open up the path that you would have us to walk. I pray for every individual that lifted their hand this morning. Lord, I pray that you would give them spiritual sight with clarity, that we may glorify your wonderful name and that we may praise you and thank you. We ask it in Jesus' name. We ask it in the name above all names. Amen and amen.